Hi, this is Jen Pham, and so are you, and welcome to Pham Yi,
a space where we support each other and invite you along the journey.
Hi. Hey, so this week we're starting our episode with mom guilt.
Yes.
It's a lot of content to cover. So mom guilt is the feeling of not being a good enough mother. I think that's very holistic of the general idea of the guilty feeling of being a mom or anything that pertains to it. There's been a couple situations where I've already felt really, really bad mom guilt that just leads me to cry, to just be honest. But yeah, just like, what are your mom guilt stories, Sor?
There are so many. I feel like it's universal. Yeah. Everyone goes through it no matter what. It just comes with motherhood.
I think it's going to always happen.
Yeah.
No matter at what age.
Yeah. Like, you're forever going to feel that way. I think my mom still, to this day, feels mom guilt sometimes.
I don't think my mom even knows what mom guilt is. I think my mom thinks that she's doing her best, and that's the best she had in that moment, and she can live with herself.
I wonder if, like, cultures feel mom guilt all the same.
I think it's also how you're raised. So if your parents are so super entitled of like, hey, I did the best I could, you should be grateful, then maybe there's just like smaller dosage of mom guilt than those that want to give so much more, or they know their potential as a mom and they're not living up to the potential that they see for themselves, if that makes sense.
I agree. I was actually talking to someone about like my situations of mom guilt, and they said comparison is a thief of joy, which is so true, because I feel like a lot of it comes from comparing yourself to other moms.
Ooh.
Because there's so many different ways to do something. There's so many different products to use. There's so many different like schedules and personalities. It's just, you get in your head, and everything you see online, if there's so many mom videos on Instagram, TikTok, and it's
baby
like
list.
Baby list, and they're always like telling you, you know, like do this, or like giving advice. And I'm like, this is a lot.
Yeah.
And this is just a lot to take in as a first time mom. I know the second time around, we're going to be like, dude, we got this.
But no,
well, I know they're going to be different.
I'm mentally preparing myself that the second time is not going to be the same, so I try not to treat them the same.
That's true.
I'm trying so hard, but I do, a part of me is like, okay, these are the things I'm going to do better next time.
But at least you know the basics, like, you know how to change a diaper, you know, like formulas, like all that stuff in the beginning. I was like, what the heck am I doing?
Oh, yeah, I definitely know how to not get sprayed.
Yeah. Oh, see, I don't know what that's like right now. So, so all these things online, and you're just comparing yourself. I think also like having friends, you know, it's a blessing having friends who are also moms at the same time as you. But it also comes with comparison, I feel like sometimes. Before like this whole momhood, like we never would like question, you know, like compare in any type of way. And so I think it's just a different situation to navigate.
I do think, like, I noticed that because you're my only close mom friend, I don't see it as bad comparison.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, oh, Sora does this, so I should be doing that. Like, those thoughts don't really go through my mind. Mm-hmm. It's more like, oh, Sora does this with them. I kind of like that. So maybe I should start implementing it.
I think
it's more on a supportive side of comparison. So far for me on how I feel. And so I am so grateful to have mom friends, because I do get to learn. There's going to be a lot of research out there that I'm never going to be able to touch, that maybe my friend has touched. And even if that's not what she or he, you know, dad friends or mom friends are implementing with their children, they're educated enough to share that might work for ours.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I see it when it comes to comparison, because I think I was raised in a household where we were always being compared. So that's why I do my best not to compare in a negative connotation kind of way, because that's not how I want to raise my kids. I don't want to raise them to look at each other like, oh, Kylo does this, XYZ doesn't do that, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's kind of how I see it. That, and I don't like to compare myself. It's like,
yeah,
I know I'm doing my best.
Yeah.
And this is my 110. And if I were to bring myself in a bad comparison, I think the only person that's hurting is me.
That's true.
So I really don't compare as much as other people do, but I also don't have a lot of mom friends mm-hmm. to compare to. So, you know, like you said before, pre-baby, we've just always been so supportive, and that's kind of how I still see it.
We have always been supportive.
But super supportive mom friends, and you don't give me, like, any type of unsolicited
advice. No, you don't give me any type of unsolicited advice either.
Because I don't know what I'm doing, okay? I'm gonna be honest. If I knew something like, oh, this works, and this is, like, the best thing ever, oh my gosh, I would never gatekeep a mom hack. But because I'm not there yet, I have nothing to give you as advice. I wish I could. I wish I could, but I don't. And so that's why we personally don't give each other unsolicited advice.
Yeah, it's a very, like, supportive space.
Yeah, and sure. I think we do get a lot of unsolicited advice from other people, so we're just like, hey, we don't need to do that for each other.
Yeah, I know. And I know I probably also have given unsolicited advice, so I apologize. I am working on it. But, like, I just don't want to hear your... Unless I'm asking for mm-hmm. help, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't help me. I know you think it helps me, but it doesn't help me. Yeah. Like, I'm going to do what I think is best anyways. All you exactly. did was, like, put something in my mind to say, like, to make me doubt myself for a mm-hmm. second. You know? So.
Yeah, that is fair. I also agree. It doesn't matter what anyone's saying. I'm just so...
No, I'm with you. It's so funny. Your pediatrician tells you something, and you're like, I take it as suggestions.
I know.
That's the funniest thing ever.
Okay, we're talking about cereal milk. And at that stage, the pediatrician's like, oh, he's not sitting yet. He shouldn't be drinking cereal milk. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think my baby drinks way like an abnormal amount of milk, even though I'm a first-time mom.
Yeah.
Other moms are just saying, like, that's crazy, he's drinking 8 ounces at three months old. And I was like, I know, that's kind of crazy, I didn't know that. Okay, well, so many people told me, like, that it's not okay. Uh-huh. He is a hungry baby. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna give my baby cereal milk, and it helped. It yeah. helped him stay full longer. Does it help him sleep through the night? No. But did it help us reduce his wake-up times at night? Yes. And that's all I could ask for.
Yeah.
And it works. And he loves it. He loves the banana strawberry milk, okay? And he loves all the other flavors I get him. So we're in a good place over here. Good. It's suggested advice from pediatricians, unless it's like, this is super bad.
No, you're seriously good. So, like, what are situations where you felt mom guilt?
So my first hangover was tough because I haven't drank for so long, and I thought, okay, you know, I can let loose. It's my husband's birthday. Like, I did the surprise event for him, and then it got a little too out of hand. And the next morning, I was super hungover. Mind you, I haven't drank in so long. I don't even think I had a wine because I was breastfeeding. And so with that being said, my body struggled and I struggled. And I cried a lot the next day, having a lot of mom guilt. But luckily, I had cousins that were here that were more than happy to watch him. He was still safe at home, which I'm really lucky. But it could have been worse. I just still felt bad because I didn't give my 100% to him. And I gave 100% to fun the night before. But, you know, I learned my lesson, and instead of beating myself up, I just controlled my drinking and haven't been hungover since. So I just try not to beat myself up, but I can't take away that feeling of how bad I felt. I felt so bad that I, you know, am still not hungover.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I don't want to feel like that again. I don't want to not give my children 100%. It's not fair to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my first time, like, feeling real mom guilt. And obviously, I couldn't give him, like, my breast milk at that time, too, because I drank so much. So it's just pumping and dumping all day, pretty much. Because they were saying, like, some of the research said that if you're still hungover, there's alcohol in your system, you can't give that to baby. And at that time, he was only 3 months. So I was just pumping and dumping. And I was like, dang, what a waste. Just because I had a fun night, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely learned my lesson. What about you?
Okay, so this is like a personal problem that I dealt with. But this is, it's me not speaking up when someone else does something to my baby. Ooh. So, and it kind of pertains specifically with family. Mm-hmm. I feel so guilty because I know I'm already, like, I've had people tell me, like, I'm anal about, like, how I am with her schedule and, like, mm-hmm. the things that I am already. And I don't know what it is, but it's, like, I'm holding Emma, you know? Like, I want to be with her and, like, I have, like, family visit or whatever. And they're, like, you've had her all day. Like, and I just, like, can I hold her? You know, or, like, you know, like, just leave her alone kind of thing. And it's, like, I don't speak up in those moments where I'm, like, oh, okay, you know, you're right. Like, I should back off, whatever. And it's, like, when I sit down and think about it later, I'm, like, no, like, that's my child, you know? All I'm doing is, like, I just want to be there and show love and, like, take care of her. And there just have been moments where I haven't spoken up. Okay, for an example, it's, like, shaking a bottle, you know, having a lot of bubbles in the bottle, you know? I've seen my mother-in-law feed her with a bottle after she's, like, vigorously shaking the bottle.
Oh no. But and Emma has bad,
she has bad digestion.
Yeah,
you know?
So, like, she has to burp and it takes her a really long time to burp.
Yeah, so I saw her do that, and the thing is, the reason why I didn't say anything is because she's watched her many times before, and I was like, oh, like, that's how she did it. And Emma's clearly fine, you know? But she did always mention and comment to me, like, she's a very gassy baby. I was like, oh yeah, that's normal. She's always been gassy at home. But I don't know why I couldn't get myself to say anything. So I, like, told my husband, can you tell your mom?
I think it's so much easier.
Like, can you tell your mom to do it this way, please? And he was like, oh, yeah. You know, and after she was like, oh, I understand. Yeah. But it's just, like, I feel so guilty for not speaking up because I'm like, I don't want her to, I want my daughter to grow up and be able to be vocal, you know, say what you feel, you know, like, don't hold it in. And that's something I don't want her to have and her to bear. And I'm afraid if I am like this as a person, she's going to learn that from me. And she's not going to feel the confidence to speak up when she needs to, because I know that's an issue that I have sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know why that, like, got me.
Well, because it's true mom guilt from you. Like, if I'm not, because probably what you're feeling is, if I'm not showing her how to speak up, then how is she gonna learn?
Yeah.
And so you're feeling bad about it, but then you're having a push and pull between yourself. Like, it's not hurting her. She's okay. This is, you know, her grandma versus, like, hey, I think this is the best for my child.
Yeah.
So you're just in this, like, she's fine with or without this advice, but I would prefer this advice.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's more about the speaking up part that you're upset about more than
bubbles
in, you know, bubbles in the milk.
It's like, I don't want to pass on my trauma.
Yeah.
I think that's like, in general, a big mom guilt is passing on my trauma to my children.
Yeah. I think that's so real.
Yeah.
I mean, all we can do is our best. They're probably all going to have trauma anyway.
I know. We didn't have each other's last night.
I kind of mentally prepare myself. They're already going to have trauma. So, like, let me just try to reduce it as much as I can. But, I mean, I feel really, really bad mom guilt, too, when it comes to right now we are 12 weeks pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And Kat and I, we have the best time, like, waking up together, all three of us, every morning. And it's just, like, so fun. Because Kylo's a 6 a.m. baby. So he'll wake up at 6 a.m. and he's up before our alarm clock. And so I'll go get him and things, and then, you know, change him, get him ready for the day, and then have him in bed, and he wakes up Kaw every morning.
Aww.
And it's just the cutest thing, and it's just so much fun. And obviously, where's the mom guilt coming from? But the mom guilt is coming from, I know this is the last year he's only gonna have the three of us.
Yeah.
Like, the only undivided attention we could give him is now. And I try to soak that in as much as possible. And I think he's gonna, like, love having a sibling. But I feel bad. I know 2 under 2 means I'm gonna give him so much split attention. He's not gonna be the only one. And I don't think it's a bad thing. And I don't think it's a good thing. I just, like... should we have waited? Because I was so selfish to think, like, our lives as parents are going to be easier if we have 2 under 2. They go to school back to back. There's no school gaps. They get to be in the same school, because I know what it's like to have sisters in different schools than me, or sisters that don't even ever go into the same school as me because the age gaps are so large. And I think it makes me feel like, did I do the right thing? But it's obviously too late. I mean, we're walking into the second trimester. I try not to think of it like that. I try to just soak in the moment.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is the last time the three of us are going to put him to bed together as long as we can. And I think it does give him some coddling. But it's, and I'm not really a coddling parent, to be honest. So, but I'm just trying. I'm just trying to give him my 100%, even when I'm pregnant, which is hard because I know I'm only going to get bigger and I can't lie with him forever to put him to bed and things like that. Like, I can't coddle him forever, but I'm just obsessed with waking up the three of us, obsessed with all of our moments of the three of us, even though there's clearly 4 of us. But I feel terrible. I know it's gonna be fine. I know he needs a sibling. He's the type of child that needs a sibling. He needs friends or something. He's a social butterfly, and I think it's gonna be amazing for him. I just think it's me. It's just me.
I think you even worrying about this or thinking about this, if you're worried about being a good mom, that shows that you are a good mom.
These
are moments, and these are beautiful moments you have with Kylo, you know, and these are just good, like, cherishable moments to take in as you can.
I try to also tell myself, like, he's not going to remember these anyway.
Yeah.
Kaw always reminds me that the first 2-3 years is for the parents. It's not even for the kid. So everything is fine.
But also imagine, like, what if it's even better with 2 of them in your bed? You know what I mean? Like, so with both of them waking you up, like, that could be even more, you know? Like, there's so many bright things ahead.
Yeah, but that is another strong mom guilt.
Okay, so moving on to our next question. What are some societal pressures and expectations that contribute to this feeling?
The feeling of mom guilt.
Yeah.
I'll start off with saying the overdose of information online.
Oh my gosh.
Especially when you're pregnant, it's insane.
What do you mean? Like, you looking at it when you're pregnant?
Doing all the research while you're pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Of car seats and strollers, diapers, everything. It's just very overwhelming. I remember each week, Kaw and I would split up something that we research about, and then we would come to a conclusion, like, this is the best for our family.
Wow, you guys went deep into it.
Yeah, because we don't know what we're doing.
Okay, yeah, that's
and there's so much TikTok advice and so much, like, research that we're just like, what is the best one for us?
See, my overdose came after I had the baby.
Yeah.
And it was all information about how to raise the child. Oh my God, the milestone marker was, like, a big thing for me. Like,
I didn't even know there was a thing.
Stressful, because it's like, it's like, oh, they need to be able to lift their head up by this age, or like they give you a range and things like that. But then like
the pediatrician or like online?
Online.
Oh God.
And so it's like, and then a lot of people post like, oh, this is when, I know it's educational, but it's, you watch someone, a kid, like, raising their head by 3 months, and they're already, like, you know, like, way ahead, or there may be some that's... It's just so much information, and it goes back to comparison, because you're just like, oh, well, my baby's not there yet, or, you know, like, oh, she hasn't done this yet, you know? And it's just... That got to me, you know? Like, in the beginning, yes, I was super lost. But I think I gave myself more grace in that time period, like, oh, I'll figure it out. But then the process of being the actual parent is when I think the noise got to me more. And that was, yeah, it was just a lot.
I didn't even know that there was a milestone online for where your kid should be at.
I mean, like, people say it, like...
In the videos or something?
Yeah, but it's more... I mean, the pediatricians, you know, there's, like, a technical milestone in general. Like, if you just Google it, it's, like, from ages, like, 3 to 6 is when they're supposed to be able to, like, turn over, you know? But, like, for me, in my head, I'm like, oh, my God, it starts at 3? Okay, she needs to be doing it by 3. You know, it's yeah. Maybe it's also my interpretation of it. But I just think there is so
much. Like, you don't want her to fall behind
either. Yeah, I don't want her to fall behind either. But then I'm also like, when I look at her, I'm like, girl, take your time. If you're not ready to turn, you're not ready to turn. Mom will hold you.
Wow, that's so funny. And I was telling Sora this. Okay, so Sora says a lot of words of encouragement to Emma while she does tummy time. And I think it's just the sweetest thing and cutest thing ever. And I am very much like, I'm so tired of the baby talk. You're going to hear my regular voice. You can do it. Yeah. I don't even think I gave him that. I was like, you're going to figure out the tummy time. I'm going to go wash bottles real quick. And when you start crying, then obviously your tired will come back. Because it's not like he's rolling anywhere. I have an eye on him while I'm at the sink. Like, the direction... How my house is laid out, I can clearly have my eye on him the entire time. So I'm like, you're fine. And God, my sister goes, yeah, it's the gaslight that you and God give your son all the time of, you're fine. And he's over here whining.
No, but see, like, he did really good.
Sometimes we forced it too.
But like, I feel like you have to force them. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I need to let you go on a little more. Like, girl, we need to lift your head up. You need the strength. Like, I know you don't like it, but I know you want to look around. In order to look around, you need the strength.
Yes, because she's curious. Yeah. She's so, oh my gosh, she's so sweet. But I was telling Kyle, like, I think I should give Kyla more words of encouragement because I don't think I'm doing that great. And I know, like, I wasn't in... Both of us, we weren't raised in an environment where we got a pat on the back as a firstborn. We didn't get the I'm proud of you. So
yeah, I feel you.
Just because, like, you did that, it reminded me, like, oh, I should be giving him, you know, words of affirmation of he's doing a good job. Even though he has no idea what I'm saying, I think. But I'm gonna do it. But it is true that... Oh gosh, there's so much.
Another one is this is huge, but working as a mom.
Yeah.
How was that for you? How was that for you? Because you went like back into work.
Yeah, I went back into corporate after maternity leave. Luckily, my company gave me about 11-ish, 12 weeks of maternity leave, even though I didn't have a C-section. Because some companies, they give you a certain amount because you do vaginal birth.
Oh, what?
And so I was only supposed to have 8 weeks having a vaginal birth. But they gave extra parental leave on top of that. And then my manager even gave me 3 days of extra PTO. Like, 3 business days. Yeah. And I was just about done. I was so over being home. I think it's because it's also the social butterfly in me of being cooped up in the house. I mean, mind you, I still went outside and stuff, but I needed human interaction. I needed more fulfillment. And I don't not that being a mom is not fulfilling, okay? Like, don't... No one, no bestie listener out there take that away from me, because motherhood is the best gift I've ever received. But I think for me, I needed more because I love what I do for work. So to take that away from me, I think that would have been very difficult. So when I came back to work, the amount of times people checked in on me, I was so grateful. But at the same time, I didn't miss my son. I liked wearing semi-normal clothes again. I wasn't in PJs. I got to have an interaction with people. I got to have lunch.
Yeah.
Like, in peace.
A warm meal. Yes. Without it going cold.
Exactly. Like, I had peace while I had lunch. It was nice. And, mind you, that kind of continued. I don't really have mom guilt when it comes to work. I know... maybe I should. I don't know. Because I am gone for a long time. Atlanta has really bad traffic. I only see my son for a couple hours and I pick him up and we kind of do bath time and he's pretty much going to bed. And I think I should feel bad, but I don't, because I love what I do. And to take a piece of me away, the only me that I felt in so long away, I think that was even harder if I had to be a stay-at-home. Because if you already feel like you lost your body when you're pregnant, but to lose your identity too, a piece of you, I don't know, I wouldn't say work is your identity, but it's like, that's who you are. Who I am, because I like what I do.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, I don't feel the mom guilt for work. I still don't feel mom guilt for work now that he's around. He turns 8 months this upcoming week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know if I will. But maybe when I have two kids, I might feel that work mom guilt. Because I'm no longer just one person that's totally fine. Like, Kylo's totally fine with or without me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can be passed to anybody. But with the next baby, I don't know if I'm going to have that guilt. Because what if that baby needs me more?
Mm-hmm.
Then I would feel more guilty. If that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. And, so, like, I think it's so important what you said, because just because you have a kid doesn't mean your life gets put on hold.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's still important for you to carry on your life and your mental health. And if, you know, work makes you happy, and it makes you happy, and that helps you become a better mom. You said that to me once, you know, which that has been such a good reminder for me day in and day out. Like, if I need a rest, it's okay to rest, because that makes you a better mom after, you know. Like, if you need to do this, like, it just helps you become a better mom.
Yeah,
when you're able to feel, because if you're gonna be sad and depressed, that's not gonna do any good for your kid.
Yeah. And if I was home all the time, I would go insane. Like, insane. I can't. Yeah, and Kylo doesn't even think I'm funny. He's like, his dad and his auntie's funny. So I have to be around them to hear his laugh. So it's just like, he doesn't even think I'm funny. So I want to hang out with people who think I'm funny or something. I don't know. But okay, how is going back to work for you? Because it's more new for you.
Yeah, but so I do have the benefit of being able to work from home because it is my own business. In that aspect, though, there is a lot of pressure because we are still new and there is a lot to build. And usually you really want to get it rolling, you know, very early on. You want to be on top of it and stuff. But it's hard with a newborn because you have to be with them. And I personally just... I think I'm more attached, so I want to be with her all the time. So, like, her getting sent off to my mother's-in-law for the first couple of times was rough. And even if she does get sent off, like, immediately after I'm done, I'm like, okay, I want to go pick her up, you know? So I do have to stop myself, because I'm like, you know what? This is something that I'm doing for myself, one. And two, it's so that we can bring in money to provide for her in the best way, you know? So... just thinking about it in that aspect helps.
Yeah.
Going back to work.
I'm with you, though. When I'm done with work, the first place in face I want to see is him.
No, ass. It's just like...
It's like, okay, I worked really hard and it was all worth it because I see your smile.
No, actually.
So, I'm with you. Okay, we got to talk about breastfeeding.
That was a huge so one. So
real when it comes to mom guilt.
Well, you know, I called Jen crying after I had already been crying for hours when I was contemplating about stopping breastfeeding and pumping altogether. Because I was just like, and I did a whole, like, I did a deep dive on Reddit and just read through so many. No, but I actually found this soup. It was such an amazing, like, Reddit room or whatever, and every single person was so freaking positive in there. Like, it was, that helped me be like, okay, because it was, someone made the question, you know, like, this is getting really hard, you know, I'm just trying to figure out like what worked for you and whatever, and every single person was just kind of like, you know, I have a sister who's breastfed. My child was formula fed, and I can't tell you that there's any difference in their health. And because health was a big one for me, I was like, is she gonna get sick more? Is she gonna, you know, like, is this gonna be worse for her development? And so there were just so many people going into that thread saying positive things and saying and supporting that really helped me decide, because breastfeeding was just so hard for me.
Breastfeeding is hard for anybody. I should say that. Like, I was talking to my cousins, Teresa and Jonathan, and they were, well, John had no idea what breastfeeding was like, even though his sister does it. But, you know, they don't talk. Brothers and sisters don't talk about stuff like that. But I was like, dude, when you breastfeed, the baby is starving. Yeah. Like, at that point, the baby is starving unless you're doing, like, a cluster feed, which first-time moms don't even really... They're not educated on what a cluster feed is, even. And then, on top of that, it hurts so bad. Like, my personal experience, my nipple skin, like, literally, my areola, like, peeled because of the dryness of the... I don't know what it is. I didn't even want to research it. I was in so much pain. I had a lot of mini cuts on my nipples because of breastfeeding, and I was like, oh my gosh, what if my baby drinks my blood? Like, you know, you're thinking about all these things that you don't normally think about, and the pain that you're in, I couldn't even take it. I had to switch sides, like, because it's so painful. But for you to just continue, I think that's like all we could do. And then on top of that, like, I wanted to breastfeed, but then I couldn't produce because I don't do well not sleeping. That's how I get sick. He was in the emergency room. We were in the hospital all week. And the nurses are not in the room actually watching your baby. You are. And with that being said, we took 4-hour shifts of staying awake. I still wasn't taking caffeine. And so with that, I was struggling keeping up, ensuring, like, anyway, all the jaundice light wasn't getting into his eyes, all this blue light. He's only like 4 or 5 days old. I mean, he had the light since he came out the womb. Day one, day two, skipped one day, day four, day five, day six of just being under a light. And that's all he could be. And with that being said, like, I didn't get any rest. So that really reduced my milk production a lot. Like, I was so happy to even make, like, 6 ounces one time. And I was like, wow. Like I just felt like those were my big wins, if that makes sense. But then, obviously, I ran out of milk because I got sick. And when you get sick, you can't... Breastfeeding is really good when you're sick. But the thing is, if I'm sick, I have to take care of myself because I don't want to get the baby sick. So I'm actually away from my child now. So he can stay healthy. And I'm still I'm just pumping now. And then I needed sleep. Like, that's just point blank, like, what I needed. I needed sleep. I needed to rest. I needed to feel better. And I don't have any more milk. But... I mean, I kind of just told myself, like, you know, my sisters and I are fine being formula babies. Honestly, a lot of people in our generation are formula babies. Yeah. And so it's fine. Like,
that's what I thought.
we're healthy, they're healthy, and we're giving him the best formula for him that didn't give him any indigestion, that didn't make him puke, because I heard there's baby that basically go number three when it's certain formulas, or they didn't go at all, and they're backed up, and I was like, okay, at least I picked something that worked for him, and now I'm happy.
Oh, the formula?
Yeah.
Oh, that formula actually works wonders for us, too. Yeah. Like, it's good.
We use Kindamil.
Yeah.
Big Sora and I both use Kindamil.
Yeah. She's never had a problem with it. She's never thrown up. She has regular bowel movements. It's like, it's honestly, she can't even tell the difference.
Yeah.
Like, she eats that up.
Yeah. Well, Kyla definitely knew the difference between breast milk and formula, but I just mixed
Yeah, that's what I did for a long time, yeah.
And it ended up being fine. And then when I completely took out my breast milk because I ran out, then he was like, whatever, it's sick, it tastes the same.
By then, she was used to it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So solid. I know we're not there. You're not there yet.
Yeah.
But I think there's like a lot of food pressure that mostly comes from the older generation of all these mix up porridges and rice porridges that I should be feeding Kylo, not these purees.
That's the Asian part of us.
And I'm just like, it doesn't matter what I feed him. You see, he's healthy, right? You know? And it's not like I want him to be exposed to as many food groups as possible to see what he's allergic to, but also I want him to be exposed so that he doesn't get used to just one food. And I think it's very different for my mother-in-law, where she's like, you're giving him food that makes him hot inside. I don't know why Asian people think like you get hot inside.
Like with what?
Like avocados. She didn't. She was like, you shouldn't be feeding him avocado. Like, well, we just, you know, blended it.
Yeah.
And made it kind of like a puree. But that was one of the things where she's like, he shouldn't be eating that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sorry. You had your chance raising children. It's my turn.
No, actually, that's such a big thing. Because so I told many, mom that. Elders, yeah, they're like, oh, you need to be doing this, X, Y, Z. And I'm like, you know what? Like, this is my child. Like, I will do what I need to do.
Yeah.
Like, thank you, but no thank you.
Well, I just remind Ka to tell his mom, like, she had her chance to raise her children. It's our turn. And my mom knows that very well of, like, that's how I feel. Yeah. And my mom lets us make mistakes.
Yeah.
So she doesn't tell us what to eat. She'll just be like, oh, I don't think he likes it. I'm like, whatever, feed him. You know, because he needs to eat a vegetable. He needs to eat, you know, whatever. But I would say that's, like, the one thing about, like, solids and of the societal or expectations within the family, like, I really hate. I still deal with.
Also, can I just say, it's, like, so okay for us to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Like, it's so okay for any mom to make mistakes. And it's natural and it's normal. And I feel like sometimes when people are trying to give advice, they're trying to get you to avoid that. And it's like, no, we're going to have to go through that to learn from it. Mm-hmm. And so I like that you said your mom lets you, like, do it.
Like, just figure it out.
Figure it out, yeah.
Like, if there's any, I mean, luckily for me, my mom knows that if she gives us unsolicited advice, which I'm not saying she doesn't, she does, but she knows when I'm over it. Like, okay, I heard what you have to say, and then she moves on too. Yeah. So she doesn't hold it against us, like, oh, I brought this. One of the things my mom says, you should cut Kylo's eyelashes so that it can grow out longer. And I was like, mom, I'm not going to do it unless the doctor tells me to. I'm not bringing a pair of safe scissors scissors around my son's eyes. But she's like, well, I did it for Steph and look at how long her eyelashes are. And I was like, well, if he's healthy, then with a lot of collagen, he'll grow his own eyelashes.
Oh my God.
And she was like, well, if you want your son to not have enough eyelashes, then that's up to you. And I was like, okay, that's up to me. And then we just left it like that. She never brought it up again. And that's kind of how our conversations go with her unsolicited advice.
I mean, that's good.
Like, she's sharing what she thinks, and then we move on, and we never talk about it again.
You know what? As long as you can...
Like, why would I do that?
Shut it down, you're good.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, before we end this episode, I think we should bring up screen time.
Oh, yeah.
Have you done any screen time with Emma so far?
No, I'm trying my best to go as long as I can without screen time. Honestly, I want to say I'm not giving her a screen until 2 years.
Yeah.
It is hard though.
It is hard
because she looks at the TV.
Uh-huh. It's a huge black thing.
No. She looks at the TV when we have it on.
Oh, okay.
And you know, like earlier on, she didn't know, but now she's at that place where she's looking around, mm-hmm. and I have caught this girl like. She is, like, her head is, like, looking back, and her eyes are glued to the TV, and I'll get in front of her, I'll turn the TV off. I'm like, you know what, see, we can't have the TV on, no, we're just gonna be a family that doesn't play TV, until she goes to bed or something, because it's, like, she definitely looks.
I'm not gonna lie,
it's hard.
We do get kind of some type of screen time. We did agree that we're not going to do any tablets or anything mm-hmm. like that. Cause super big on posture. And so he doesn't, and he's super big on, you know, get creative, have mm-hmm. fun. So we don't, but there are times where we just need him to, he's super fussy. We can't do anything. We have something we have to do at mm-hmm. that moment. So we put on some Dancing Fruit on YouTube.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
He doesn't like anything talking when it comes to, like, I try to do other cartoon movies mm-hmm. like Minions or something. He's not a fan of anything that talks. He's not a fan of Miss Rachel. Like, it's just because he's such a happy baby, he needs the upbeat music, yeah. which is also a stimulator for him, because he'll scream at the TV, because once the fruits dance off the screen, now he's screaming like, where are you? And so when they dance back on, he's like laughing and he's having a blast. He thinks dancing fruits are funny, but he doesn't think I'm funny. But yeah, so we do give him that, but we've limited now to one time a week pretty much.
Okay,
so it's not too bad. But I do watch TV around him. People that watch him have TV around him.
Yeah.
I'm okay with TV, to be honest. We grew up with TV. I'm not okay with the tablet.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with that. But because so many people take photos and videos of him, he is obsessed with the phone.
I just, you know, I know we can't keep them away from it. Like, it's gonna happen. And it's very natural. We just live in a time and age of screens and TVs and all that stuff. And I think we do our best. Because we do our best.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all we can do. Because mm-hmm. Because you want to take pictures of mm-hmm. them and you want to record videos. And we have iPhones nowadays that can do it all.
He will crawl to a phone before he crawls to any toy. He knows that on a phone, because my parents live out of state, that we FaceTime. We FaceTime a lot. So he knows he can see himself on FaceTime. He's obsessed with himself. He's very Aquarius. He loves mirrors. He loves anything that he can see himself. And so he knows there's FaceTime. He gets to see his grandparents, and he's so happy to see them. He gets to see his favorite auntie on FaceTime. He gets to watch the fruits on FaceTime. Like, all these things where he's just like, this is a magical thing, and I have to put it in my mouth.
I mean, screens have very beneficial, obviously, like you said, very beneficial benefits. I don't know. You know what I said. So I think it's just, like, you know, being mindful,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, that's really all we can do.
Yeah, they're going to be exposed.
I do my best. I know. I just do my best as I can.
I will say, because he loves the phone so much, I've reduced my screen time of my usage on my phone to 2 hours or less a day on average.
I agree, because they say, like, it doesn't matter what you're not showing them, like, when they watch you, they're going to end up doing it. And that helped me become more present and mindful, like, not be on my phone.
So I'm definitely, because he's in my life, I'm not averaging around 8-9 hours a day on my phone.
Yeah.
But now it's around 2. It's very insane to look back on.
I mean, it helps us.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much all we have for mom.
Yeah.
Guilt.
It was a longer episode, but you know, there was a lot to talk about.
Yes. Okay, let us know if there's anything else you guys want to hear.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.